بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. After the Tarawih Salah, normally it is our practice to read out from this kitab compiled by the Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Original was in Urdu, entitled Maut Ki Yaad, meaning remembrance of death. We should understand why is it so important to remember death. First and foremost, because it is a command of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that aksiru dhikra hazimil ladzat al-maut, or kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, that remember excessively the devourer of pleasures, that is, remember death. In other words, if a person remembers death, that death is something inevitable, kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut, that every soul must taste of death, then it is obvious a person will not waste his time behind trivial pursuits, will not waste his time chasing behind the pleasures of this world. He will utilize this world to the point of necessity and focus himself to the more important aspect of the akhirat, which is the everlasting world. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself commands that remember death excessively. On one occasion, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered a gathering of Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. The Sahaba were laughing over some matter. So when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw this, he became very annoyed. And he said to them, that لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ مَا أَعْلَمْ لَذَحِكْتُمْ قَلِيلًا وَلَبَكَيْتُمْ كَثِيرًا, that if you were aware of what is to transpire in the Akhirat, the frightening scenes of the day of Qiyamah, what is to take place in the Qabr, then you would laugh less and you would cry more. You would lament and you would ponder, reflect over your death, that death is something which is inevitable. In fact, death is perhaps the only phenomenon in this entire world with regard to which there is no difference of opinion. Every denomination, every creed, every religion, every human being accepts that death is inevitable. And when death comes, it comes with clockwork precision. This is perhaps the only appointment where there is no delay whatsoever, the appointment with death. The Quran tells us, فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ, that when the appointed hour comes, when death comes, then it cannot be delayed for one moment, nor can it be brought forward by one moment. It takes place with clockwork precision. So that is why death is so significant. It is a dividing ridge between this world and the next. It is a portal and a bridge that transports us from this world to the next world. That is why it is said, مَمَّاتَ فَقَدْ قَامَتْ قِيَامَتُهُ. Once a person dies, it is as if his qiyamah has commenced, because scenes of the akhirat begin to take place. Once a person leaves this world, now he is in the next world. So that is why it is very, very important to remember death excessively. So we read here, as the Shaykh rahmatullah writes, that it was a practice of Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah Ali, that daily, every night, he would call a gathering of those ulama who used to remember death, qiyamat, and the akhirat, due to which he would cry as if a janaza was placed in front of him. Hazrat Ibrahim Taymi rahmatullah Ali says, two things cause the termination of all worldly pleasures in me. Firstly, death, and secondly, the concern of standing in front of Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Hazrat Kaaba radiallahu ta'ala says, for the person who recognizes death, all worldly difficulties become easy. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa, Hazrat As'as rahmatullahi says, whenever we used to go to Hazrat Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi, then Jahannam and the year after were mentioned. One woman complained to Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha about the hardness of her heart. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha said to her, remember death excessively, your heart will become soft. The woman did as she was told, and thereafter She returned to Raisha Radilanha and thanked her very much. It also comes in narrations that Hazrat Usman al-Ghali radiallahu ta'ala, whenever he used to go to the Qabristan and stand before the graves, he would weep so excessively that his beard used to become moist and wet with the tears. Someone once asked him that when mention of Jannat and Jahannam are made, when mention of other affairs of the Akhirat are made, you do not cry so much as we see you crying when standing in front of the graves. So he replied that I have heard my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that Maut and the Qabr is the first stage from the stages of the Akhirat. If this stage, this hurdle becomes easy for a person, then the rest of the hurdles also will be easier to cross. But if this hurdle is such that if a person is afflicted with punishment in the Qabr, then the following hurdles, the ensuing hurdles, will also become very, very difficult for him. So that is why it is very important to remember death. Because after death, a person enters the alam e barzakh, the realm of the barzakh, which is the interim period between this world and the next world. And that is when a person will be questioned. That is where a person could be punished for his shortcomings, for his sins. And that is why we see this pious predecessor used to weep excessively whenever they used to remember their maut and remember their death. There are certain sins for which a person gets punishment in the Akhirat and even in the Qabr as well. For example, there is a certain type of sin, a crime that many people indulge in, not aware of the consequences, whereas the consequences are very, very grave. And that is a sin of consuming interest. Many people bank their money in the savings account and they utilize the interest. Whereas if a person out of necessity, if he has to put his money in the bank, in a savings account, he should keep a record of the amount of interest that accumulates. And as soon as possible, he should remove that and give it away to the poor without any intention of reward. That is a way to dispose of the interest. It is not something for us to consume. Because in the hadith, Nabi Karim Sa'azam has sounded a very grave warning that La'ana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Akila riba wa mukilahu wa katibahu wa shahidai wa qalahum sawa aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam, that the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has cursed the person who consumes interest, the person who pays interest on a loan, the person who writes out the document of the interest agreement, and those who are witness to such an agreement. All these people are engrossed, involved in sin, and they are the targets of the curse of none other than Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, this is such a serious crime, consumption of interest, involving interest in usury, that the Quran says, فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, that if you continue to indulge in interest, in usurious transactions, then be aware that Allah and His Rasul declares war upon you. Imagine if Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam declares war upon a person, what will the result of that person be in the Akhirat? Something for us to ponder over. It comes in the hadith that there were numerous times where Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was shown the punishment and the torment of those people who indulge in transactions of interest. Sometimes Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was shown these scenes in a dream. The dream of a Nabi is also equivalent to a wahi. It is similar to a divine revelation. And on one occasion at the time of Mi'raj, when Nabi Karim Sa'adu went with his physical body into the heavens, and he was given a tour of Jannat and Jahannam, on that occasion, Nabi Karim Sa'adu also witnessed the terrible punishment that is meted out to those people who indulge in consuming interest. The dream that Nabi Karim saw on one occasion, he saw in a dream that there was a lake which was full of blood. Not a lake of water, a lake of blood. In the middle of the lake, there is a person standing, immersed in that blood, and he is going through endless suffering, sitting in the middle of the lake of blood. Each time he tries and get out of the lake, there is someone standing on the bank of the lake that pelts him and throws him with a huge boulder that causes him to return into the lake. In other words, try as he might, he tries time and again to come out of the lake, but he is unable to do so. And perpetually, eternally, he has to remain in that lake of blood. Nabi Karim saw him in the dream. He asked a farishta, an angel that was with him, that why is this person being afflicted with this torment? So the farishta replied that this was a person who is to consume interest. And this is punishment. Because people that give loans on interest are so-called bloodsuckers. They suck out the life and the blood of the poor. So because of that, this person was being tormented in a lake of blood. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went for Mi'raj, on that occasion, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was given a tour of Jannat and Jahannam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions that when he was given a tour of Jahannam, he saw certain people whose stomachs were bloated. Stomachs had become huge and big as houses. And the skin of those stomachs was so fine and so thin that the stomach was transparent. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that he saw in those bloated stomachs scorpions and snakes that were time and again biting, stinging that person. And not only that, together with that, these people were made to lie down flat on the ground, and Ali Fir'aun, the people of Fir'aun, who were in huge numbers, they are also in Jahannam, but they are being made to line up and trample this person lying upon the ground. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on that occasion also asked a farishta that why are these people being given such punishment? So the reply was given that these were people that dealt in useless transactions, in transactions of interest. Sometimes in order to open our eyes, Allah Ta'ala shows us these type of punishments even in recent times. Someone once mentioned that a Tablighi Jamaat went to a certain locality. Allah Ta'ala uses our Tablighi brothers sometimes in order to open our eyes and to make us focus towards the Akhirah and towards the sins that you are committing. So this Tablighi Jamaat returned after the Tashkil and they related some amazing incidents. Among those incidents was this event, that they went to a certain locality and they found a certain man had passed away and the family members were weeping over his parting. But besides that, many people of the vicinity had gathered at the door of that deceased person because there was an amazing phenomenon taking place, never witnessed before. So this Tablighi Jamaat brothers, they were engaged in their own work, but the household members pleaded with them. They'd come to the home and make dua for our deceased father or whoever has passed away. So the Tablighi brothers acceded to the request. When they went into the home, they found that deceased person lying, and on his stomach was a very, very hideous looking black cobra that was spitting out poison. They had never seen a cobra that huge and that frightening. People were using poles and sticks to try and get rid of that cobra, but it would not move from that spot. Eventually, these Tablighi brothers got engaged in dua, in dhikr, and they continued to make dua for about an hour or two, after which, miraculously, that cobra vanished into thin air. So now the people got the opportunity to take the deceased person, place him in the qabr. When they took him to the qabristan, the qabr that was allocated for him, as they were lowering his body, they found the same black cobra waiting in that qabr. They could not get it out of the qabr, so somehow people also were very afraid. They pushed that body into the qabr, covered it with the soil, and immediately fled from the scene. So the Pirus Tablighi brothers that were there, they made inquiries from the locality that what sin could this person have been committing that he's been afflicted with this type of punishment there at the time of his death when his body lay there lifeless and now in the qabr. When they made inquiries, they found this man also used to indulge in interest. He used to give loans out on interest. There is a buzurg by the name of Hazrat Abdullah bin Ahmad Madini Rahmatullahi. He relates that Allah Ta'ala blessed me, I became hafiz of the Quran at a very young age. But it also so happened that I lost my father too when he was very young. So he says that because Allah Ta'ala gifted me with this Quran, I used to go every morning after Fajr Salah to the side of my father's qabr and recite Quran, convey the thawab, convey the reward to him, isal the thawab. So he says once it was the month of Ramadan, and Ramadan normally, like here too, Fajr Salah normally takes place earlier, 10 minutes or so after Sehri, Fajr Salah takes place, it is still quite dark outside. So he says he performed his Fajr Salah at the earliest possible time in the masjid of the locality and then went to the Qabristan to recite Quran to pass the reward on to his father. He says it so happened that turned out to be the Laylatul Qadr. He did not remember the date. It was either the 23rd or the 25th or the 27th night of Ramadan. So he says that morning I went again to the Qabr of my father. As I was busy reciting, it was still very dark. Dawn had not broken as yet. The sun had not risen. He says, in the darkness, I heard screams emanating from a certain qabr. Ear-piercing screams. Very, very terrifying. Very, very frightening. But he says, I continued to recite that with the barakat of the Quran, Allah will protect me. But he says, I perceived that the screams were coming out from a certain qabr. And he says, as the sun began to rise, and there was a bit of light, then I looked in that direction, and I could perceive that the screams were coming out from a certain qabr that had a white stone placed upon it. It was a solid qabr. So he says, as light began to filter into the qabristan, the screams also, the volume of the screams began to die down, until finally the screams ended. People were passing, walking to and fro, going towards their occupation, towards their work. He says, I summoned one of the local people and asked him, whose qabr is this? So they mentioned it is the qabr of a certain individual of the locality. They took the name of the person. He says, I too recognize that person. This was a person who was considered a very pious man in the community. He used to perform his salah in the first saf in the masjid with takbir-e-ula. And after salah, he used to sit for a little while, engage in tilawat, in dhikr. He was always occupied in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, he would not argue with anyone. He would not interfere and meddle in the affairs of people. He would not indulge in riba, backbiting. A very, very pious personality. So that's why he said, I could not fathom that how is it possible that this person is being afflicted with such torment and punishment that ear-piercing screams are emanating from his qabr. So he says, I went into the locality, I met some of this deceased man's friends, and I made some inquiries. Then someone told me in confidence that, listen, this man, the way that you perceived him, was a very, very pious person. But what transpired, that he owned a very flourishing business. He had no children. When he reached old age, he could no longer operate the business himself. But he had earned a huge sum of money from his business, a huge boodle of money. So he thought, now I can retire, sell the business. I have accumulated enough to carry me, inshallah, to the last of my days. But no children, no one to run the business for him. So he says that is when his carnal self took over. And the shaitan, also an ally of the carnal self, they made me think in this crooked way that the amount of money that you have accumulated, how long will it last? It will depreciate. It will finally trickle away. So the best way to invest this money is that you are a wealthy person, start giving the money out on interest-bearing loans. People will take loans from you and pay back with interest. In this way you can survive. You will be able to lead a luxurious life and you will have no worry in the world whatsoever. So look at this. A man whose earlier life was spent first of the masjid performing salah, looking very pious, and people also regarded him as pious. He was a pious person, not indulging in arguments, in backbiting, a very pious person. But it can happen that the shaitan can lead a person astray towards the last days of his life. That is why it comes in the hadith to this effect, that inna rajula la ya'malu amala ahli al-janna fayasbiqu ala al-kitab fayamalu amala ahli al-nar fayadkhuluha. Aw kama qala al-salam. And sometimes it happens, like in the case of this man, that a person can lead his entire life doing the amal of the people of Jannat, but towards the latter stage of his life he can be led astray. And it is then decreed for him that because he has fallen into the trap of the shaitan, he begins to do those actions of the people of Jahannam, with the result that he then goes into Jahannam in order to be punished. That's why it is very, very important. Ulama also tell us that always make dua for husna khatima, that Allah Ta'ala give us a favorable ending. That just as we spend our lives doing good work, up to the final moment also, we continue to deposit good deeds for the akhirat that will draw the mercy and the fadl and the grace of Allah. Consuming interest is not something trivial. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warns that dirhamu riban ya'kuluhu ar-rajul wa huwa ya'lam ashaddu alayhi min 36 zinyatan. Aw kama qala bi salatihi. That consuming just one dirham of interest, which is about 20 rands, 30 rands of interest, the gravity of the sin is worse than committing 36 times fornication. Worse than committing 36 times zina. And the reason is obvious, that as the Quran mentions, those who consume interest, Allah and His Rasul declares war upon them. So obviously the person upon whom Allah and His Rasul declares war on, that person, his sinning is more grave, more serious than the person committing adultery. In one hadith it comes to this effect, that الرِّبَى سَبْعُونَ جُزْءًا أَيْسَرُهُ أَنْ يَنْكِحَ الرَّجُلُ أُمَّهُ أو كَمَا قَالَ لِسَلَاةُ السَّلَامِ. That usury consists of 70 different degrees and categories. And the lowest degree, the sin of the lowest degree, is equivalent to committing incest with one's own mother. That is the gravity of the sin of consuming interest. Some people once came to Hazrat Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri, Rahmatullah Ali, and they put forward a business proposal which involved interest-bearing transactions. So they asked him, is it permissible? So Shah Sahib immediately told them, after listening to their business proposal, that this is haram, it is not permissible. So they tried to justify, looking for loopholes, coming from this angle and that angle. But each time Shah Sahib said to them that it is haram. When they continued to persist, then Shyasa became angry and he said to them, "Listen, brothers, if you want to go into Jahannam, the road is direct to Jahannam. Don't use my neck as a bridge to go into Jahannam. Do not use me to justify something that is haram. Something that is haram, I cannot make it halal. Allah has made it haram, it will remain haram." So nevertheless, this is one of those sins for which a person can be seriously punished in the qabr and in the akhirat as well. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of utilizing this blessed month of Ramadan to make a firm resolution to turn over a new leaf, first and foremost, to repent for our past life, that Allah pardons our sins, whichever sin they may be, whether committed in private or public, and Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq and the ability to abstain from sinning, so that our iman can become stronger, it can remain secure. Allah can make us amongst those fortunate people that inshallah leave the world with iman, with a kalima purse on our lips, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. For those brothers who are new, after Tarawih we'll have this short program, and then Durush Sharif, Salatu Salaam will be read, and then a short dua. In the morning after Fajr, we have a short tafsir program. At 11 o'clock, we read out the lectures, the bayans of Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Hassan Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullahi. After Zohar Salah, we have beads that we'll read certain tasbihs on. Dua will take place. After Asar also, we have a program where biographies of our pious predecessors are read out. Especially those brothers in i'tikaf should attend, try their best to attend all the programs. And those who are not in i'tikaf are also welcome. Inshallah, Allah will benefit us by virtue of what you listen to as far as the talks of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are concerned. Inshallah, you will now have the salatu salam, inshallah.